Greetings, this is James Gillen and I'm your host. There's a lot of things going on and a lot of things to talk about, and I can't think of a better guest to have on the show other than Joe Mara. So we're going to bring Dr. Mara on, and he's a doctor of nursing practice, hypnotherapist. He's a Reiki master, spiritual counselor, holistic healthcare practitioner, explorer, researcher, speaker, radio show host, and frequent guest on Aware and Cutting Edge radio and internet programs. And he's been in this field for quite a while, and been on the cutting edge of what's been happening on this planet and solutions. So, without any further ado, I want to bring Joe on the air. Joe, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here, James. Thank you for having me.
Great. You don't mind if I call you Joe, or should I call you Dr. Joe or Dr.
That's what
Mara?
you can call me whatever feels right to you. Joe's perfectly fine.
Okay, just as long as we call you for dinner,
That's it.
huh? Yeah. So, my God, there are so many things happening right now. I know you do a lot of therapy and things like that, and that might be a good place to start because I don't know if you've noticed it, but I don't know how you could notice it, but it seems everybody seems to be coming unglued right now,
Yeah.
and people who usually could hold their focus, and maintain their center are just totally losing it,
Yeah.
and it does seem like there's something. Some un energies underneath just pushing this all to the surface. I think it's a good thing, but
Yeah.
it's a very chaotic thing, and sometimes a very painful thing when you're in the middle of it. So I'd love to get your take on that.
Well, as we've talked before, James, plus I visited your ranch, which was wonderful, by the way. I mean, I have a lot of insight from traveling throughout the country and the radio shows and the interviews that I've had with special guests like yourself. And, doing my own therapies and, traditional medicine. But there's so many variables that are going on right now. People want explanations for what's going on, but you almost have to take each individual person and see where they're coming from, where their awareness is, where their truth lies, and then help them maybe try to explain, because it almost seems counterproductive. If you just speak to a large group, it might ring true with what you're saying to some of them, but not all. And it's because we all come in with different soul growths and awarenesses, and sometimes it's quite confusing because it's almost like you're contradicting yourself. And again, it's you have to take in each individual person case by case. And you're absolutely right. I mean, people are coming unglued right now, and it does have to do with energy. And the way I look at it is, just because you can't see it, don't mean it don't exist. There's only what within the bandwidth of light, the human vision, we can only see a certain amount of that. And then what's beyond our vision, like the ultraviolet light and the infrared. I mean, we know it's there, but we can't perceive it. It's the same with like microorganisms. We didn't know what all was out there until we invented the microscope. So we don't have this inherent tool within us to measure and gauge certain things. But my point is, just because we can't perceive it does not mean it's not there. And that kind of sets us up for a whole gamut of discussion with the dimensions that are collapsing down on one another, Mother Earth, who's going through this transition as well, the energies that are coming from the center of the universe, all the planets that are aligning. All these energies are mixing and flowing and raising in vibratory frequency. And those who haven't done the work or refuse to, if they want to stay where they're at, they're fine. There's nothing negative about it. It's really a choice. But they're the ones that are probably going to have the hardest times with this transition, in my opinion. What do you think?
Oh yeah, definitely. And I know the people with the deepest wounds are having the hardest time, definitely keeping it together. And sometimes, we're so busy defending and trying to control the energies and things like that. It's the way the energy's coming in right now, so hot and so heavy and so intense, it's like basically all you can do is surrender.
Right.
I mean, there just say okay, surrender and just become empty, as empty as possible, and just let it move through you. I'm on a fence about setting boundaries versus becoming empty. But there is seems to be a time too for setting boundaries, just going, are we going to just keep creating this circle, or are we going to step off the merry-go-round,
It's funny you say that. I mean, the way I look at it, the way energy works, thought becomes reality. And each individual person has their own consciousness about them and their own life to live and lessons that they've come in to learn and help other people. But there's also this consciousness field that's around this planet. And the more people that think one thing at one time, that becomes the paradigm or the reality that we all live in, like this 3, maybe into 4D now. I mean, years ago, I would say it was all 3D, but we're moving in and everything's collapsing within these dimensions. So again, sometimes it sounds like we're contradicting ourselves when we speak, but there's just too many variables to explain it in a one paragraph sentence or one in or a couple sentences or one paragraph with what's going on right now. So I'm hoping to get into everything we need to discuss to help people out. And you just mentioned an important thing, letting go. And I had a practice in central Pennsylvania, as you know, and in fact I had 3 urgent care centers, and I was treating people with for diseases through the traditional method, but I also offered them hypnotherapy and Reiki energy or energy medicine and other modalities. And most practitioners won't do that. And it's because that's the way they're trained and because they are stuck in their ways and they don't want to let go of the old for fear of the new. And a lot of what's going on right now is exactly what you say. You just have to surrender and release and move towards the light or what feels good because we're an emotional body and we need to go with our heart instead of our head right now. And myself personally, I sold my all my belongings, my urgent care centers, my home, and everything, and was drawn from my heart out to New Mexico from central Pennsylvania. And I just left everything behind. And people were like, "How can you do that? Aren't you afraid? And isn't that scary?" And I'm like, "You don't realize how freeing it is to just get rid of your stuff, just go, and have the ability to just be. It's really peaceful."
I understand that. After I had that near-death experience, I could not function. I was in commercial real estate. I had all these people working for me, an office, everything. And I did two steps. One, I went to the desert in the beginning and was up there and went back to just basically swinging a hammer, as a contractor to try to get grounded again. That was really good to go back up to the desert. And then after that, I went to live in the Redwoods and just pretty much either sold or mostly I just gave everything away. And nobody could believe. They go, "What are you doing? You're nuts. Like, why are you getting rid of all this stuff? And I just said, "I don't need it. I just don't need it. I'm following my heart here. I can't function in this world anymore. I need to get into a world that's supporting my spiritual growth, my spirit, not my ego and materialism and all these other things." And so what's funny is that as much as I gave everything away and followed my spirit, it all came back. It keeps coming back more and more. It's like the universe loves a vacuum.
Oh, I'm telling you, you're exactly right. And it's just things in synchronicity. And one thing with what you're mentioning was it's nice to have the opposition here in this dualistic world. That's one of the variables is, hot, cold, good, bad, up, down, all this stuff. And without the opposition, there's really no growth. So it's here for a reason. We incarnated knowing we were going to go through this and help ourselves and other people and the planet. And what's funny is once you leave, like when I left, and I've been away for months, and I mean, I was a pretty grounded person with my family and never thought I'd ever leave because, we have a close-knit family and everything. But, after leaving and being so peaceful and just being, coming back, it's so funny to see everything's still the same where I left. And everything is new where I'm at now. You know, it's just so funny. After months and months, you'd think some things would change, but they wouldn't. And yet your family still thinks you're crazy or nuts, as you say. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what are you doing? Like, why are you giving all your stuff away? And why are you moving? And to me, I've never had a more freeing feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. People don't understand it, but it's, you know, basically it's all about following your heart and your happiness. And if you're, you know, sometimes you got to totally change everything, your environment, sometimes relationships, sometimes everything. You know, I'm not saying run away from anything, but it is. Sometimes you go, okay, this is the old me. This doesn't support who I am now anymore. Maybe I need to start creating something different, you know, a different reality and surround myself in a space that is more, that feeds that, you know. Like, I love what Yogananda said. He said, you know, you have your biological family and then you have your spiritual family. And, you know, if your brother's a thief or a murderer or whatever, you still have to love him. And, doesn't mean you have to agree with what he does, but you hang out with your spiritual family, because that's where you're fed. You know, that's what supports you and gives you sustenance.
Right. You know, it's so funny how, you know, my consciousness has changed. And before, you know, you're taught, and as you say, many times programmed from birth on with the media and the educational system and all this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden you start, like myself anyway, not everybody does this, but I was on a path for the truth. You know, I was like, what the heck is the truth? None of this makes sense to me. And then all of a sudden, some people will say you wake up, but I think it's more about remembrance. It's like, oh, this is where I am. And this is why I know what I know deep down that it isn't right. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I love that saying, you know, Jesus said, basically, you must become like a child before you can enter the kingdom of heaven. Right. And people go, oh, does that mean, you know, or reborn again, you know, or whatever. And they said, oh, does that mean I need to be shoved back into the womb or forget everything and just become, and in a way, basically reborn is when you let the spirit come in and take over.
Right.
And the other one, becoming like a child, we have to develop that lack of judgment, that sense of awe. And let go of so many old patterns and belief systems. No matter how strong we think we need to hold on to these, they might just be a program and a pattern, you know, be it cultural or religious programming. It might be a very limited program. And so we have to back up and always observe ourselves, you know, and see if we are in, you know, projecting and blame and judgment or, you know, according to our reference points and programs, or, you know, are we going to like internalize this and say, okay, I'm going to take a good long look at this and see where I might have some limited perspectives, or I might have some conditionings or something that's not in my highest and best good.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that was helpful to me is when I realized that you don't just live one life and you come into this thing and you either have to get it right or you're going to hell, or you do a good job, you're going to heaven. That never really made sense to me.
No.
And so, okay. I'm sorry. It's helpful to know that you live thousands of lives, and you know what? You've been the good guy. You've been the bad guy, because it's about experience. It's about expansion. So that's why we shouldn't judge anybody else, because they've come in here to help other people by being that bad guy or being the good guy this time around. And I really think that, you know, we as spiritual beings living out this human experience, that's what we're here for. We're here to help ourselves grow, help humanity grow, and help the earth grow. And it makes so much more sense to me that if you stand back and just say, oh, they're just doing their job, and just look at it for what it is, without judgment, without fear, without doubt, see people in compassion. And it makes your life so much peaceful, much more peaceful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, I was working on something just on my own internal program, and I was thinking about it. And, you know, there's an old saying, the only reason anybody has any power over you is because you want something from them. And so that's the hook. So
yeah.
when we totally love and accept and approve of ourselves, then a lot of these things fall away. And even wanting somebody to heal is a hook, Right. or wanting somebody to act in a different way other than their acting is a
Right.
hook. But at the same time too, as I look at that and I just say, well, that's a frequency and that's an energy and that's being transmitted and acted out, and it's not a healthy one.
Right.
And maybe that's a judgment too. Maybe it is a healthy one. I don't know.
No,
But
you know what, James? I agree exactly what you're saying, but basically we all have this discernment about us. So you can either become the observer or you can be judgmental.
Yeah.
Basically, what you're saying is you're observing a different frequency that don't suit you, so you could easily walk away from it. And that's what this opposition or this duality is about. And we're here to become the masters. And you mentioned Jesus. He also said, "You will do these things and greater things." And so what I think he was on this planet, he was a human being just like we are. I don't think he was a messiah that he wanted to be venerated and all this stuff. I think that he was showing us our highest potential as human beings.
Yeah. He did say very clearly, he told people not to follow him. He said, don't. He said, when you worship the God in me, you're diminishing the God within yourself.
Right.
And he told everybody, the temple is within, you're all gods, go within, make your own personal God connection.
Right.
But one of the things I thought was amazing is that he said, you search the scriptures in vain, for I speak of a living God. And there are so many people. I mean, I was listening to a guy on Coast to Coast a couple nights ago that he had his nose so deep in the scriptures, he was totally oblivious
Right.
to everything else going on. And he had all, he had the religious stance on UFOs and everything, and all according to his book, without looking at any other research or any other people. And
Right.
he was very what do you call it, convincing in a way, you
Yeah.
might say, as he bent everything according to his reference points, and which basically came out of the Bible. And basically his program was that these are all demons. There's no extraterrestrial life. There's nothing else out there. There's just Earth, and there's a battle here between the demons and the good guys, us being the good guys, the humans, and the demons are trying to take out us, and they're posing as UFOs. So he said, but humans are the pure ones on the planet. And I go,
Now, if you look at it in that unilateral 3D way, you could see where he's coming from. But I mean, there's how many humans that have been on this planet that aren't pure? You know,
I know.
speak louder than words. I mean, that's hilarious.
Yeah, when I heard humans are the pure ones, I go, well, let's look at this thing a little bit. It's like we have a long, long history of doing just heinous acts to each other and the planet, and destroying our own environment
Right.
and everything else. And yeah, that is also influenced by unseen energies as well. But the bottom line is we made choices, and those choices have been pretty heinous concerning, what we're doing. And now I love, I think it was Bill Maher, I can't remember, he was talking about how Obama gets something on his cell phone, I don't know, some daily prayer, on his cell phone, which I thought was quite interesting. And that he's a good Christian. And then he, in the next instance, he's talking about predator drones, and he's just so gung-ho on predator drones and saying how strategic these are and how they surgically remove the terrorist, and that they are so precise, and so, and nobody gets harmed, none of the innocent people get harmed. But when you look at the statistics, one of the things they do, they go, whatever, Ali bin whatever terrorist is going to be at a wedding at this house, let's just blow the whole house up.
Yeah.
And that's, and so they go, okay, very seldom is the guy, sometimes the guy's sitting in a restaurant, or some guy, and they go, okay, we know where he is. Let's just blast the restaurant, collateral damage. And there's, children and women and, it's all blown apart and laying there ripped to pieces. But, and that's the real story. That's what's really going on. So So it just blows me away where these leaders are saying war is good, killing's good. We are so self-righteous. We know who's going to die and who's not going to die. We have the power to do this, and basically we're just going to let God sort out everybody after we, send them into the next level, So, but
Well,
it's pretty insane when you look at the total paradox of what's happening right now on the planet.
yeah. When a country comes in with the mentality of preemptive attack before something major happens to us, I mean, that's a fear-based thinking,
Oh
and you
yeah.
get the country behind you for something that really doesn't make any sense. And in the name of God, I mean, come on, I
Yeah.
mean. These are the things that have always bothered me all my life, and the Crusades and all the other things in the name of God. I'm like, what in the heck is going on this planet? I can't believe that there's this loving, forgiving God that, we're fighting for. It just didn't make sense to me. It still doesn't.
It's a pretty wimpy God, This guy can't fight his own battles. Come on, I thought the guy was omnipotent and so basically, why does he need us to go around and kill everybody that supposedly he does not have favor with? It does not. They say on one hand God is all loving and all forgiving. That's the image Jesus gave us. And then on the other hand, they say he's jealous and wrathful, and you step out of line, you can be murdered or stoned at any time. Total
And over the
paradox.
years, what I found is life doesn't happen to you, it happens from you because thought becomes reality. And as I tell different people, as I lecture and I discuss this on the radio shows such as yours, is, just to give people a visual from the radio here, the people that go to church to pray, it's not the church or the denomination that creates the miracle, at least the perceived miracle. It's the thought, and everybody in that particular, it's the communion of people with the same thought and the same intent in mind at that time is what creates what we consider a miracle. So we're all co-creators of this thing called life. And what you put out, it's called law of attraction. What you put out, you bring back to yourself. So the more you align yourself with this negativity and Planet X and Nibiru and all the other things, when you focus your attention towards that, then guess what? You bring more of that fear and doom and gloom stuff to yourself. But what I would like to say is for people that are experiencing that, shift your thought to something more positive and see what happens. Change your life a little bit because you can make the change internally. And as you raise in your vibratory frequency, this is another thing. People don't realize it, but just by meditating and going within and working on yourself and getting rid of your cellular memories, your negativity, attachments or whatever, you raise in frequency. And as you walk the planet, it's almost like a domino effect. The people that you come into contact with that have a lower vibratory frequency, they'll raise to match yours. That's how energy works. And so what can one individual do on this big planet to help change what's going on? Work on yourself. That's my biggest message.
That's the message here that we've been trying to get out there, is that rather than externalize everything and blame and whatever, we need to shift our energies and internalize things and just say, what is it in me, that's being triggered here? What is it in me that's being affected? What am I defending? And start, really going deep and looking at that, and then you have solutions. But it doesn't mean the other person is going to heal on the other side. They could continue doing whatever they're doing. But the hooks aren't there anymore. It's not going to be affecting us. But at the same time, it's kind of, now this is the big quagmire, So you want to maintain an energy or a frequency, and if you have somebody in a group, let's say that is really pulling in the negative and sending you constant nasty grams and trying to get everybody else to agree with them, taking down the frequency, then what would be the next step there?
Well, when that happens, people that are experiencing that either need to walk away because that's your discernment, somehow get away from that particular person or that situation. But mainly what happens with the law of attraction with energy is as you raise in frequency, these negative entities or people or whoever, they can't reach your vibratory frequency after a while. I mean, it's hard at first, or it seems to be hard, but you're working on yourself as well as your environment, your everything that's around you. And as things change and they raise in frequency, the negativity just can't reach you anymore. And you'll see it more and more as the higher you go. And then all of a sudden, if you're open, like a lot of people are like, how come nobody's seeing UFOs, or I'm not seeing a UFO, or the people that see them are open to it and they raise in a frequency that they can, how should I say, maybe meet me halfway type of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're real low and these entities are real high, like the ET entities that are from these higher dimensions, they don't even see you. It's like us looking at a microscopic bug. Like we don't even look for them because not that they're insignificant, but many times we view it as such because they're just not within our visual acuity, or they're almost out of sight, out of mind type thing. But if you raise in frequency, your light gets brighter. Now all of a sudden the ETs, if you want to call them that, or our star family, they can now perceive you and you can perceive them. It's almost like meeting halfway. And, you know, I think, you know, I've spent some time there at your ranch, and oh, within the first 15 minutes we were there, we saw like 30 in the sky, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I want to go back to this other thing now. So basically what I see, now this is my perspective, is that if we all internalize and go within and clear this energy up, keep clearing it and keep holding a frequency,
right,
that whatever is being expressed negatively has only two options. One is to heal, or two is to move, you know, to move on. You know, those are the only two options. But the other thing too is if we agree with it, and if enough people agree with it, then it can still run amok and do its thing. Or if enough people participate in the judgments or the accusations or whatever else that are being flying out, you know, the more people agree with it and participate in it, the more that energy is going to affect the whole. And you know, it's really tricky. You know, it's a dance that I'm trying to figure out. When do you step in and say, okay, enough?
Right.
And you know, enough projections, you know, enough whatever, you know. And when do you just keep clearing it? You know, sometimes it's a full-time job if you're surrounded by it.
Well, and again, like I said, the higher you go in energy and your frequency, all of a sudden, you know, the old saying, birds of a feather flock together.
Mm-hmm.
Those who suit you, and you'll keep raising. And that's what I said before. Is like, I always thought if I find out the truth, what the heck is going on this planet, I'm going to tell everybody. Well, it turns out that I found out that I did find the truth, but everybody's truth is their own. It's individualized because of their soul growth, whether they're an ancient soul or a baby soul. It has to do with the consciousness field and what everybody believes at one time collectively. I mean, there's so much to this, but becoming a master of your own internal affairs or your humanness, that's what we're here to do. And we're here to help one another along the way. I know we have, I hate to use the word contract because people think, what? No, that's not right. But I mean, we do decide to help one another coming through prior to incarnation, I think. And I also think that through energy, the more positive you put out, the more you're going to attract yourself. And again, birds of a feather flock together. And those people that no longer suit you, the negativity, it's just not there anymore. You just don't see it because your attention isn't towards it. But, you know, people like ourselves, like you're on the radio and I'm on the radio and other people, because of the interviews that we do, it's almost like when you interview various people, they all come from different walks of life and all over the planet. And to help different people understand the whole gamut of what's going on, you almost have to put the pieces to the puzzle together. You can't just spout off about just religion and that's it, because it doesn't make sense to everybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. There's you know, going into religion, there's one thing that I found really interesting is that another thing Jesus said, you know, he said there should come a day when man shall not worship, you know, God in the mountaintops or in the churches, but within self. And when you really get out, I think people should break out of their boxes. I don't really believe in religion. I think it's an extreme limitation. But if people want to do that, they can. But I believe that we need to transcend all religious and cultural boundaries and get back into loving everybody and everything, and being able to go here or go there. I spent a lot of time sitting, with lamas and yogis and a lot of different churches. Some churches I'm not real welcome in, especially locals. They go, "There's that guy," "There's a guy that talks to UFOs," or "They're the devil," or whatever, but it's all okay. I understand that. I understand that mindset and where it comes from and that program, but how long are we going to run this program? It's just like, when are we going to continue? When are we going to stop this separation game that is leading to war and all the, even separation with the planet itself? We think we're separate from the planet, and look what we're doing to the planet. Look what we're doing to other countries, in the guise of religion or whatever, or self-righteousness. It's pretty screwed up, and someday we're going to have to drop that program.
Well, just a short bit on the religion. I think that religion has a place. I'm no longer there. Like, I was born and raised a Catholic, and I just reminded that I was an older boy and all this just yesterday, and I forgot about it. And at that time, it was something that was necessary for me to become more enlightened, for to focus prayer and intent. So I see a positive side of it, and I look at it as a blessing in disguise. Like, I don't see it like that now. I look at it like, okay, so say you're maybe creating criminal acts or murders and stuff, and religion brings you to a state where you no longer do that, and you're in a more positive state. But I don't think that's the be all end all right there. I think that you need to keep spreading your wings and just go higher and higher and higher. So it does have a place, but where I'm at now, I'm almost like at a higher perspective, looking down, not in a negative way, just observing, like, oh wow, I see where I was and look where I've come from. So again, that's that opposition that can, if I look back, I can see where I was to see what my growth is today.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's like a nest, and unfortunately we start getting feathers and wings, and but oh no, you got to stay in the nest. You can't fly out there and explore the, all the other genres out there. But I see it as all these different flavors out there. This diversity is so amazing, and how all these cultures have these different flavors or different ways, and some of the ways are the same. They're exactly the same. They have the same messages. The golden threads that bind all belief structures together. And then some of them kind of went off the deep end, with saying our image of God and our Messiah is the only Messiah, and if you choose another, then you're in blasphemy and you're going to go to hell for whatever, forever, So, that end of it, I think we need to drop down. But, I always see these missionaries going out to these other countries. Let's say this missionary goes to India. I know some people here that they're all going to India, and they're going down there to convert the Hindu people to Jesus. And they go to Vietnam, and the Buddhists there, and they said, "Oh, we're trying to con they need to be saved, they need to be converted to Jesus, and then you cross over and you go up to the next level, and Jesus and Muhammad and White Eagle and Mary and Mary Magdalene and all these people, beings, are all up there hand in hand, arm in arm, no problems, and then you come back to the earth and you're going, I don't get it. What's wrong with this picture? The picture is, the humans, and these separative belief systems that they've chosen to entrap themselves in.
Yeah, you know, some of that I can explain in my mind. The way I look at it, anyway, this is my truth, is that because we've come here to learn various lessons or help one another throughout, I think that we put a veil before us, And so the five senses we talked about earlier, if I knew I was a god or a godlike being that I could be anywhere at any time, I can bet you right now that I wouldn't want to be in this thick, dense, dualistic world right now.
Yeah.
I would be back in heaven, bliss, or wherever. So just so you know, I think that we come in here with limited perspective just so we accomplish the goals that we've come here to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And what had happened was, in my opinion, I think that some beings that are just a little more knowledgeable or had a higher consciousness by virtue of the dimension that they were in, took advantage of humanity and that while we were trying to grow in our own spiritual growth and manipulated us, whether it be through the DNA thing or consciousness thing. And I really think that that's what sent us down this spiraling path of separation away from our source, our God, our connection with source, or the universe and the planet and everything else. So I think it's important to say, you know, like we're as humans, we do have power, but we didn't even know it for generations. We just thought that, you know, we're just these little monkeys on this planet and we have a God that we have to pray to. Most of the time we don't realize, at least I didn't before, I didn't realize the whole gamut of how powerful each individual person is. And yet collectively, the magnitude of us creating and co-creating, how powerful that is. And I think it was important to say that it's not all our fault because the manipulation of people taking advantage that probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, I agree. But you have to know what I see is you've got to know the real history to see where you went wrong. You might say, or even wrong's a judgment, but how you got lost into this separation game and disempowered. And then once you know the real history of Earth, what really happened, then you can go, wow, that's where those images came from. That's where this program came from. And now that I've advanced and I'm a little more evolved, I can look at this and let it go and just say, wow, this is really, this is really disempowering. And I can't think of another of a truth that's more disempowering. And this may upset a lot of Christians, but the idea of a savior that's going to come and do everything for you. And then a God that you can either blame or give credit to, or a devil, which you can blame for everything. That's the most disempowering belief system I've ever seen. And I'm not saying that there aren't masters out there, and I'm not saying that there aren't darker forces out there. What I'm saying is that whatever happened to personal choice and personal responsibility, you know, it is just so disempowering to project all your power outside of yourself and all your responsibility outside of yourself, and and to keep you know, blaming or whatever, you know, some external source for the choices that we've made and the reactions to the actions.
No, I totally agree. And again, once you can see the truth of the matter, which you, and I hate to talk about the negativity part of things or the way people look at that. I mean, I used to look at it as negative. Now I just see it as opposition. But again, it becomes your perspective. But without the history, you can't release it because you just don't understand. And then once you, because thought becomes reality and what you believe manifests. So once you can see that you've been duped, and that's the best way I can say
yeah, exactly.
Then you can say, oh, okay, so this is for real. This stuff is real. This isn't just some woo-woo stuff that these crazy guys are out there talking about. This is for real. This is how the universe works. As above, so below, the DNA, what's out there is inside each individual person. I mean, for a good example of that is DNA itself. You can create a liver if you take a sample of the pancreas. All the codes are encoded, and I think that's how the universe, universally speaking, if you want to put it that way, it works throughout the cosmos like that way. Mm-hmm. So there's codes in everything and everybody, and that's why we're all connected as one. And yet, you know, if without knowing the history, at least in this dimension, we're a mind-centered individual, at least that's part of us as humanity. I mean, there's emotional, mental body, the spiritual, the physicalness. So if you account for the mental part and go back through the history and see all the things we're talking about here, all of a sudden it starts to make sense. And now you can bring yourself out of the muck. And when you said about the masters and some of the negative ones, they absolutely exist. They're a paradigm. They're a reality in of themselves. And say the masters, I don't rely on them. I have my own inner power. But if you could picture, like, they're almost like a friend, and they have a higher perspective because you put yourself here with these blinders on. So why does it hurt to just say, hey, I'm going to look up at my master friend or the archangel or whatever and say, hey, what do you see up there that I can't see down here to give me a nudge or a help in the right direction? Like, if you're up on a ladder and you're in this maze, I mean, the master is, and you look up and say, hey, what, you know, can I get a little help here? And, you know, a lot of the positive individuals, the masters, like we've been talking about, that's they are here for service to others, not themselves. And that's who you want to call upon. But, again, we have our own inner power. And trying to traverse this planet, this universe, with a knowing that was altered or changed. And again, that's why I keep saying we're duped. I mean, all the Bibles and all these things that we've been taught in school and CNN and all the other crap that's out there. It's just, man, when people wake up to it or remember, to me, it's shocking. It's like, oh my God, how the whole planet is asleep. And here I am. There's only a few of us awake. Who do you talk to about this stuff? Because they think you're crazy.
Yeah. You know, when you say you ask just a couple questions. Well, almost all the Bibles talk about God being omnipresent, right? And they talk about us being sons and daughters of God.
Right.
Well, to me, if God is omnipresent, then it's everywhere and everything and everyone. There's no other definition for that as being omnipresent, you know. And when they say he's closer than the hair on your head, it is the hair on your head, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's one thing that seems to be vastly overlooked. You know, the other one is, God, I lost my train of thought. That was the first one, I guess, is omnipresent. And then, you know, people get really upset about that. And I go, well, just think about it. Oh, the other thing is that if you're a child of God, do you ever grow up? And if you do grow up, you know, what do you become? And Meister Eckhart talked about that. I think he said if pear seeds produce pear trees and nut seeds produce nut trees, what do God seeds produce? You know?
Yeah.
You know, I think they pretty much took him out for that one. But, you know, anybody that becomes enlightened to these two basic premises, that one, God is omnipresent, and then they stop playing the separation game, and then two, you got to get over all the years of fear and unworthiness and guilt that's reaped upon you to actually accept the fact that the Father and you are one, which is what Jesus said.
That's it.
And he said, you know, he goes, I myself do nothing. The Father through me doeth the works. The Father and I are one. I don't even like to use the word Father because even that implies a division.
Yeah.
You know, so I would call it the Father, Mother, God principle, whatever name you want to give it. But, you know, let's drop all the divisions and get back to the basic teachings, you know, and then everything else just falls away. Then you don't have to judge, you know, the Muslim or the Christian or the Hebrew or the Hindu or any of the other ones, you know, the Buddhist, you know, you can say, oh, there's another expression of God. You know, there's God in all its diversity. I'm going to go see, I want to check that expression out and see what it has to offer. You know, it's just a whole different mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because, you know, within each genre or each religion or each whatever you get into, there is probably, if you're attracted to it, there's something there for you. You don't have to believe the entirety of the particular religion or whatever. I mean, there's constant growth. And you had mentioned about the Father. Well, or growing up, I guess, is the way you put it. Mm-hmm. If we are as above, so below, the way the universe is constantly growing and expanding in consciousness, there is no growing up and that's it, done. Okay, I grew up, I'm done.
Yeah.
And that was the hardest thing for me to come into terms with when I realized it. I thought, when am I just going to get done? Can't I just go to heaven and then, okay, that's it. Well, because we're constantly growing and the universe, the way energy works, it doesn't stop. You can't destroy it. You just constantly go. So, you know, I thought for some reason, I thought that I would finally grow up, as you say, and know it all. And, okay, now I can go back to where I came from and just sit there and chill. But yeah. It's not that easy. We just keep on expanding.
Well, you know, an interesting mindset, if you really think about it, another really deep, deep program is seeking. And seeking something outside of yourself that really has always been there.
Yeah.
If we stop looking outside of ourselves and start going within, you know, the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness on all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse is within us. And once we access that and expand on that, then we can become one with the source or whatever. And there's probably things even beyond that consciousness. It's an endless process.
Right.
You know, but, you know, it's kind of interesting concept is that there are all these games. And, you know, we should call them a new religion called dupidity or dupeness or something. I don't know, like you're saying. But I mean, there's all these games that have been given to us, and some of us have been our programs by beings, you know, passing themselves off as gods or teachers or enlightened beings that were self-serving, you know, these programs, I think once we start identifying these programs and realizing where they came from, that's how we're going to regain our freedom, you know, from these programs.
Yeah. And, you know, through different channelings and psychics and stuff like that, you know, this was a big growth for me. But what I found was, again, what you put out is what you get back. So if I was interviewing all people of the doom and gloom and negativity, then I was attracting more of that to myself and putting more fear out to the public. So I had to come to terms with, okay, how am I going to do the work I want to do? You can't just stay all on the positive side and attract, mm-hmm. you know, birds of a feather flock together, because you're not helping the people that really need help. And some of the most uncomfortable places I've been to help people, I had to sit and realize, like, why am I doing here? I don't belong here. Well, those are the people that need the most help. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, at first I thought that, okay, I'm just going to put out all positive stuff and that's it. But without the history and without knowing, it's almost like you have to lead the person, not lead them, but guide them, I guess would be a better way to put it. And say, look, this is what's been going on. Just take a look at it. Do the research yourself. Follow the paper trail. And you'll find the truth is right there before us. All these movies are putting out there. There's so much truth in them. I mean, there's a lot of BS also, and that's how they mix the human mind up. They'll put a little bit of the truth in there, but then they'll throw some BS in there too, just to confuse you.
Yeah, to steer it in their direction.
Yeah.
You know, the way I look at it, let's say earth changes. A lot of people are going, oh, you know, you're focusing on earth changes and all, that's all doom and gloom. And I go, what's doom and gloom about cleaning up a mess?
Right.
You know, that's your perspective on it. You see it as a bad thing. I see, you know, nature's going to do what nature does.
Right.
And she needs to clean herself up to become the platform for life. And if we are going to move into a much higher evolved state of being, you know, we need a platform of life that will support that. And we also need to clean up what we created in the past, which is a toxic mess, you know? So is it a bad thing? You know, is it doom and gloom? And why are we labeling it? You know, why do we label it doom and gloom? It might be a good thing and it might be a necessary thing.
Right. Right. Yeah. So again, this is all growth for me. I mean, it's difficult because of all the variables and all the situations that are out there to try to get everything straight. I mean, depending where you are in your awareness and what content you're talking about, mm-hmm. it may change the answer that you have at that moment and that to that particular person.
Yeah, because I know, you know, we all have our reference points and we have our comfort zones. And, and there, you know, there's some people that are so enslaved, they don't even know it. And as long as they have their beer and their TV and their SUV and football games, they don't care. You know, like as soon as that stops, they're going to be really upset. But I mean, and that's a program they've chosen to incarnate in. You know, who knows? Maybe they did something really wild another lifetime and now they're just going to cruise.
Right, exactly.
You know, I don't know, but what I'm seeing right now is that, you know, continuing to be enslaved or whatever is not in alignment with where the earth is going. It's not frequency specific to the earth because those programs that we're enslaved to are going to eventually fold in on themselves.
Oh, yeah, and soon. I mean, we're seeing it now, and that's what, if we want to get into the 2012 phenomenon, I really think that that's what this is about right now, and it's been going on for some time. I don't think that December 21st, 2012, all of a sudden, snap the fingers, now we ascend. And those who decide at that particular moment is going to ascend, and those who just want to, you know, continue their soul growth somewhere else, then that's what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. I think we're going through the movement now, and I think that the earth changes that definitely are going to happen. I know they're going to. I think they're gradual. I don't think it's going to be like the 2012 movie that all of a sudden, bam, everything happens. Uh-huh. And we're seeing it now. The earth is already shifting. We already know it. We can measure it. And also, you know, just like we are getting rid of cellular memories from lifetime to lifetime time because that's how DNA works. So does Mother Earth. If she has an area where there was war or poverty, that's a low vibratory frequency, and you can't ascend when you have that attached to your body or your physicalness. So what she needs to do, it's just like a surgeon that'll take out a appendix when you have appendicitis. She just washes herself the way she knows how, which is either a hurricane or a tsunami. Or, and the depending on your perspective, sometimes you'll be like, oh, the humanity, all those people died. Well, guess what? They incarnated on this planet, in that region, for that particular experience. So when you realize that, it wasn't anything that was negative. It was, oh, those people wanted to experience that. It wasn't an accident that they did that. And Mother Earth, you know, she had to do what she had to do to cleanse herself because, you know, the way I look at the Earth is kind of like I look at the human body. There's these little cells, and there's good cells, and there's bad cells, and some areas of the earth could be like considered cancerous cells. And I mean, look what we're doing to this poor planet, raping her and just, you know, all the rainforest and just the destruction and the garbage and the nuclear bombs that we're putting off just for war. It just doesn't make sense. And she has to do something.
Oh yeah. All the depleted uranium and you name it. It's such a mess. And you know, that's what I see too, is that, you know, I think there's different walks of life and some in between, but some people, when they see these earth changes, they're going, yeah, it's about time, you know? It's like, they're excited about it and they're flowing with those changes. They've stepped out of the comfort zones and they're tapped in and they have their own personal God connection, creator spirit, whatever you want to call it. And they're just flowing with these changes and they're going, yeah, let's do it. You know, let's clean this planet up. Let's clean up the consciousness. You know, let's create a whole new world, you know, and they're totally into it. And then, you know, you have another group that wants to maintain the status quo, that keep their comfort zones going, that is staying in areas that are very dense and very, let's say, very materialistic or something. And they're not evolving spiritually. So, you know, and as you said, if there's been a lot of wars and a lot of negativity, that gets psychometrized into the land. And, you know, the best way to clean things up sometimes is salt water. You know, go to the beach. You know, I have to go to Mexico or Hawaii once a year just to get into the ocean and feel those waves go over my head and cleanse my aura and cleanse anything that's been sticking to me in my fields and things like that. It's amazing how healing, you know, and get in touch with the spirits, you know, the kunas of the land and things like that. And just amazing, you know, and then you come back and deal with civilization.
Oh yeah.
But you really think about it, a massive storm with a lot of electricity, an earthquake, salt water, tsunamis, whatever, those all are re-energizing that area and changing the frequencies of that area, and it's part of the process. And some areas need a lot of that, and that's why they're having the disasters in those areas. And I think too, people move to those areas because they need cleansing, they need help too.
Right, you're right.
It's like they're attracted to that denser frequency, and so they need an experience to move their eternal souls forward, or move them, in a more positive direction, So I guess when you get past the concept of death as an ending, and you see everything as a spiral, that it's a, and the sacred circle of life, then you can let go of that, that old program as death being a bad thing. Who
Yeah,
knows?
I don't think people realize how connected to the earth that we really are. I mean, it's just like the cells in our body, on our body, all over. We are on this planet and the ecosystem, we are just totally connected to it. That's what feeds us, it nourishes us, it gives us our atmosphere, the rainwater. I mean, just on and on and on. And we separate ourselves from the earth it's almost like we're killing ourselves. So if you truly look at
Oh
it, you're like,
yeah.
you wouldn't want to take a knife and start chopping your arm,
Yeah. But some are willing participants in that. We look at the chemtrails, we look at all the other toxins, the depleted uranium are spreading out everywhere. The nuclear Fukushimas, that are ticking time bombs waiting to go off. It's like we're all
Right.
participating in cutting our own arm off. And I'm just wondering when the masses are going to wake up and just say, "Hey, I don't care if you guys are making millions and billions of dollars doing this. It's not good and it's not working, and we're going to do something else."
Right.
It
Well, I
has to.
really think that that's what's happening with the 2012 movement too, James, is that people are starting to wake up more and more. I don't know if you're seeing that,
Oh, yeah,
but you can
definitely.
tell by, the frequencies that people have that are coming through. And I mean, all this stuff is happening so quick and at one time that, I think that's what the Mayan calendar and the Aztecs and all the other indigenous people on the planet had, they knew this was all going to happen and they knew about cycles. And so when you equate all the other things we talked about with the way the universe actually works and what has happened in the past will probably continue to happen in the future, it's all part of the plan, this greater plan or
Oh, yeah.
grand scheme of, and we just have to either go with the flow, surrender and release, and work on ourselves and quit becoming the victim and blaming other people, heal ourselves. And Jesus said, heal thyself. And because we all can do that, we just have been told we can't do it. And therefore it's a belief or a program. And until you can open up or break out of that, you're in the same paradigm. But as these dimensions collapse, I really think that our senses, all our five senses, and then whatever else that we as humans can do, I mean, just picture the DNA, we're only using 3% and then 8 to 10% of our brain function. I mean, if that all turned up, how effective or what could humans do at that particular point?
Yeah, definitely. It seems to be happening. That's a whole nother show in itself. And unfortunately, we're out of time. As far as the evolution that we're currently under and the process and how intense it is. But we'll have to get you back on, and we can go into round two on all that, and see what comes out of that. What's the easiest way for people to get in touch with you if somebody wants to look you up?
I have two websites. One is a guiding light, LITE.com, and I have that particular website has meditations and stuff like that, so it'll help people go within and cleanse and heal themselves. I do personal healings and readings also. The other website is universaltalk.info, and that has all of the information and it's archived there. I haven't done any interviews because I've been on the other end of the mic, so to speak, more recently. But you're on there. I interviewed you and other people like you to put the pieces to the puzzle together about what the heck is going on this planet at this time. And once people can review it themselves, they can make their own discernment or their own judgment about what's going on.
Sounds good. Hey, well, anyway, we're out of time. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and we'll definitely have to do round two.
Awesome. Thank you so much, James.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. This is James Gillen, your host, signing off. Have a great day.